That shit recording. Oh, that shit is recording. Goddamn. Alright. So after a long awaited wait, finally got the podcast going. We can give it a round of applause.
Maestro.
I'm Larry, your host, here with Reggie to my left, Kevin and Mo to my immediate right. I ain't seen y'all in a long ass time.
Very good to see y'all.
Right? Okay. Probably first time I seen y'all since what? February, March?
March. 3 months. 3 months. And they told me not to do the AKAs, but I'm jumping right into the AKAs. I'm Reggie, Reggie Love, Reggie Reg, the Haitian sensation. And my latest iteration is
get this motherfucker off the mic.
Matters? I'm just Kevin.
Yeah, just straight to the point, simple.
Okay.
Muhammad, also got an OES Mo.
Biker Boy, the Knight Rider.
Oreos fanatic.
God
damn. Fat Boy Special.
Hate that word. It's like 20 miles.
What Mama Chris called him? Peg Leg Mo.
Peg Leg Mo. Not me, I picked a mad weight out this motherfucker.
I put on 7 pounds myself.
But how y'all been? What y'all been up to?
Oh, Kevin is the humble one. He's the only one in here who lost weight.
Let's not talk about my weight. I went a long way up. I still have a long way to fall right back down.
Nah, you got me beat. I'm gonna be hurting on the basketball court when I'm back out there with y'all. Us essential workers are still out here fucking dying.
But like I told Mo, if you follow him on IG, he's been flaunting these athletic prowess accomplishments. I'm going to have to humble him back down as long as it opens back up.
And look, you look at how you put everything on there. I just put the slice stuff on there. So.
Get the fuck out of here. All y'all got bikes and I'm still waiting on my shit. But it's been real heavy in the streets lately. Everyone mental all right? Because I know it's been a lot, taking a toll on a lot of people. All the stuff going around on in the community with this whole Black Lives Matter movement.
Yeah, man. Last 3 months has been good to sit back, relax, and kind of see the world, see what the country's about, where people are going, and how they feel about things. Because people have the time to, sit there and actually think about it versus, go upon their daily life and get caught up in everyday business.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
And y'all heard one of my AKAs, the Haitian sensation. There's a strong family community in Haiti, so that was on display in the past 3 months as far as the support system. So that was beautiful to see everybody checking in on each other. But it has been tough.
So did this Haitian sensation.
I mean, I thought you said keep it simple. It's just that. Haitian and a sensation.
I mean, wait, you got it, cuz. My bad. I don't want to smoke. I don't want to smoke. You got it.
That's cool. And it rhymes, so it sounds good.
So this is the very first debut episode of the 2020 podcast. Got a lot of questions, DMs, about when this was going to officially start. Well, we finally here, goddammit. Long ass wait, but we finally here.
Sir.
So where would y'all want to get into? Where y'all want to hop into? Where y'all want to start?
I guess we're diving straight into Kanyeezy, Mr. West, college dropout, gospel singing, slight coon activities in the past couple of months, over the past year, as a matter of fact.
Also known as Reggie's hero.
You got jokes, but that college dropout album, woo boy, that stings to my soul still to this day.
Oh, it's definitely a classic.
Okay,
definitely a classic.
For sure. Late registration. Oh, yeah. I tell you, after that, I don't know what happened. I was
messing with it. The took a hold of him. Losing his mom was another detrimental.
I think that's where everything took a turn once his mom passed away. Understandably so, though. Mm-hmm. That could impact a bunch of people.
Oh, yeah. His mom was his rock.
I will say, I am trying to go to one of his Sunday services, though. Nice. If he comes back, I'll be there.
Yeah, I missed him. He was at Howard University. And I had my cousins up here from Atlanta. And we were thinking what we wanted to do. We decided to just keep a low-key day. And at nighttime, we saw the social media lit up with all the Howard University scenes and felt left the fuck out.
Yeah, my buddy went to one, saw it, and I was pretty jealous.
All right, so we're diving into...
Kanye donated $2 million to support the families of George Floyd, Aubrey, and Breonna Taylor. He was a perfect example of actions speak louder than words. Son donated and then disappeared. He ain't say nothing about it. Donated, made his point without their protesting, didn't speak a word.
Oh, no. Step back. No, because he did show up. He was at a protest. He was alongside CPS, the Chicago Public School students. So he was, he strapped up his boots.
Yeah, he was out there. So he didn't make any type of statement about it.
That's a hell of a statement.
That's what I'm saying. He didn't have to make any posts about it. No TMZ following him around. Just straight with the shits.
One thing I will say that I'm proud of everyone else. Not comparing how much money he has to what he donated, because I'm sick of that. When all these people who have millions and millions of dollars donating money, it's a lot of money when they donate it. It doesn't matter if it's 1%, 0.5% of their wealth. It's more money than anyone else would have even thought about donating. So good for them. Good for him. And it's going to go to something very good. And let's go into a 592, which is good for college education. If you got kids, look it up. It'll be always be beneficial.
For sure. Ye sent, $2 million to the affected families and set up a college fund for the daughter?
Yep, it's for the legal fees and also supporting black businesses. So that money is, just as Kevin was saying, doesn't matter the amount, but in this case, it is paramount because it is going to do a lot of good for a lot of people.
But the wild thing about it is people that ain't did shit besides tweet are still critiquing and criticizing what Kanye did. That is the wild part about it.
So the thing, I don't know if y'all know about it, they said apparently he faked the whole thing with Trump. You know, how he kept meeting with him and everything.
How that was his man's? Yeah. His right-hand man.
Apparently he had a plan the whole time. Trying to help release some people out of jail and stuff. And that was the reason he tried to get so close to him.
That's Reggie's man's in them.
You never know. Ye could have been a Machiavellian sorcerer, and he implemented this performative.
Chess player, yeah.
Right? So I wouldn't put it past him. Not saying that is the case.
Yeah.
No, because I do think Ye's got a lot of Republican in him.
That y'all did. It didn't look too close at the same time, so I don't know.
It sounds like he has some support, too, kind of helping him go what way he should and where he should and what he should put his money towards, which is good because everyone needs that emotional support to kind of get them through and make sure they're making the right decisions with what they have.
And to get, I guess, extremely deep, if you want to call it that. So I think Ye, so if we're talking George Floyd, we're talking Ye, we're talking family. Some of the last words George Floyd uttered was him calling out to his mom. And I think in this instance, Ye's mom was calling out for him, and that sort of brought him back to his grounded roots, back to his DNA, his original structure, like what his purpose was. So I think that grounded him immensely.
All the black mothers showed up to Minneapolis for that one reason. Mm-hmm. They came from all out of town, all because he called for his mother. That tore a lot of people apart, mm-hmm. Rightfully so. All people could really think about is what they would have done in their mother. But one thing it did do is open a lot of people's eyes to what's really going on in the world right now. And it's crazy that it took like a pandemic.
The whole world is shut down.
Yeah, you can't go to no sporting events, no games, no concerts. All because of a virus and everything got shut down. Finally, people opened their eyes to what's really going on. It made people sit down. And for it to take all that just for people to pay attention to what's going on is the wild part about it.
Something that's been going on forever, too. It's not like this is new. People have the time to think about it.
I mean, it's whether they kill everybody and not see everybody doing this quarantine. Like, it's been a blessing in disguise at the same time. Like, I'm happy with NBA and football and everything coming back, but at the same time, part of me don't want it to come back because I feel like that was a distraction at the same time, too.
That's a fact.
But what I think we're starting to see, and hopefully it's not just a temporary trend, is these leagues are now starting to allow for their players to be more vocal on moral issues. We'll gather here for Black Lives Matter, for specifically Black Lives Matter. They're taking stances where they're going to allow their players to either kneel, whether it be speak on these societal issues that have been, as you guys mentioned, systematic problems that have been literally tearing us down from the inside. So.
And I think that's the same thing too, but all that apologies that David's giving with Goodell and everything, like, I got to see it first. You know, they can apologize all they want.
I need to hear from Jerry Jones and Dan Snyder. That's who I need to hear from.
But Jones came out and said he was in support. He said it previously, but now he's doubling down.
Right. But it's easy to say it. He's in
$1,000.
Yeah.
But Jerry Jones threatened his players, saying if they were kneeling, they'd be punished.
Right.
That's where it started.
Right.
He was the one that shifted the conversation from about it being about police brutality to making it about the flag and disrespecting the veterans. And Cap was told by a veteran that him kneeling wasn't disrespecting the flag or the country at all. So for people to shift the narrative and make it about that was ridiculous.
If I'm not mistaken, that was Nate Boyer.
It was Nate Boyer, the Green Beret veteran.
He came out last week and said something in support again, you know, trying to get people to understand, but he's not the star quarterback, the star linebacker. He's just Nate Boyer, who should have a say because of his background.
Yeah, man, Kevin with the fact checks, man. It's awful rip. I'm just off the top.
I'm just helping out.
Yeah, it's a solid contribution. Don't try to silence that.
Nah.
Huh?
It's appreciated.
So then we'll go straight into the NFL statement, where now they've backtracked and they're eating their words. With the Colin Kaepernick protests, and so now, again, with this trending, you've seen brands step up, you've seen players step up. We haven't heard much from owners, which is extremely critical to how these dominoes are going to fall.
I'm trying to tell you, I need to hear from.
I will say I'm a Patriots fan, but there were some things coming out from
Robert Kraft is
saying, you know, that they actually had a good sit down, and you know, he stopped all football activities to sit down and understand what the players wanted to talk about, and he didn't make them think football. And I'm not, you know, holding them up for that. I'm just saying it's been acknowledged that there are some coaches out there who understand the issue, and they want to be a part of the solution instead of part of the problem.
Y'all think Cap get his job back?
He got to.
He's still out there training too, from what I heard. He out there crazy hard.
If Keem Hicks has a choice, he'll be back.
I think wherever Cap go, everybody's gonna be on that boat right there.
Yeah, they'll be there to support. It'll be interesting to see if he'll get a starting position, but he's better than 90% of those backups out there.
I bet you he still don't get his job back.
There's a possibility of it for sure.
He ain't getting his job back.
In this societal temp, like if we're taking a gauge of where we're headed, he might get it. He won't be as big a distraction as previous years would have been. It's just now his athleticism, like, if it's still there, you have to give him a shot. Like, at least bring him and don't do the affirmative action tryout. I legitimately give him a shot.
I do want to know, what does he want for his salary? I don't think he's ever come out and said that, and it'll be interesting if he's, let's say he's overvalued himself, he wants $20 million.
I think he do want a lot right now. He just want to play right now.
So. Right, and I thought it was interesting, maybe he didn't go to the XFL, and I may have been a little
XFL, CFL, any of them.
XFL offered him, and they probably didn't offer him a lot, but just to go out there, even if he played 1 week, showed what he got, had a good week, and said, I'm done, I can play, and then went to the NFL and said, give me a shot. I mean, you got Jameis Winston out there signing with the Saints.
I mean, the whole thing with XFL, it wasn't that.
They got them the fuck out of here.
He just felt he was good enough to play in NFL.
Yeah, so absolutely. Had, you know, if you
know, is either NFL or nowhere else.
Yeah, and that's the mindset. And I can accept that for sure.
Yeah, that XFL was some bullshit.
Just keeping people busy and in jobs. Entertainment on the weekends after the Super Bowl.
A couple of the players got a job in the NFL now.
Did they?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Quarterback.
Yeah, a couple of players.
A couple of safeties.
Quarterback, receiver.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess some good came out of it then. What about your man, Drew Brees, though?
Yeah, that fuck, I don't know, man. Like, the thing is, I know he ain't racist, really, because he has helped.
I don't know that. I don't know shit. I don't know this guy.
He just came the way he came over with it, it was just a wrong timing. That was just the whole thing. Like, I'm not gonna say I accept the apology yet. It was gonna take a good minute.
I don't accept that for shit.
First thing came out your mouth, but that's what usually what you mean.
Cuz was kneeling at one point.
Right. And then the next day, like, we all knew the apology was coming the next day.
Because of the backlash.
He had to apologize. There was no other choice. I mean, his teammates Michael Thomas came out and said, get out of here.
Yeah.
Stronger words.
They accepted it.
Did you tell him to shut the fuck up?
But we gonna see how things is on the field. Like, that's gonna be interesting.
It's gonna be like the longest yard when Adam Sandler got smacked.
But you know, he got phone calls from, you know, everyone. You know, from, mm-hmm. It could have been Michael Jordan. It could have been LeBron. It could have, I mean, anyone, and everyone probably reached out to him and just said, "Hey, let's talk about this and let's get through it." And even his own teammates probably sat down and said, let's talk about this, because even Shaq called the entire team, you know, and kind of got with them and said, don't let this mess everything up. You know, you got to, and one thing I stand by is, you know, admit your mistakes, own up to it, say you made a mistake, fix the mistake, understand what you did wrong, and move forward rather than moving back or still being part of the problem. And if he's actually going to be part of the community and support the, you know, what the causes are, I'm all for it. But he's got a long way to show that his mindset's actually changed and that he didn't mean actually what he said. But you got to grow, and that's part of life is growth and becoming better and bigger and kind of understanding, you know, how to make yourself, you know, move forward.
And you had mentioned MJ, so we watched, everybody more than likely watched 30 for 30 The Last Dance. So he tried to portray a polished image for a certain period of time for marketability. I think Drew Brees fell into that rut because he's one of his biggest sponsors, Wrangler Jeans. That's the good old boys, American Apparel. So they've got talking points, the army, the flag. This is what we stand up for. So I think he, by default, had to publicly say that.
Right.
He more than likely believed most of it.
Right.
But he's now a vocal piece for this company. Yeah. So he's almost robotic in his answer, with blindly saying something without even thinking about the cause and effect.
I mean, even the next day, he even took it up to another level when Trump was like, everybody should stand tall. And he was like, you know what, I didn't understand. But this isn't about the flag. He just went in with it, so definitely kicked it up.
Hey, why do you always bring up that their grandfathers or somebody was in the military? Why is it always led with that? Why is that always followed with it?
They were forced into the military via the draft. But I didn't say that.
And that's the thing, too. Somebody a lot smarter than me made the point that him bringing up his grandfather goes back to a time when black men served overseas, came back, and weren't even respected as a fellow human being here in the United States. So it was just wrought with just wrong points altogether. And hopefully, with these calls getting called out, this is a heartfelt turn for him, a learning lesson almost, for him to grow and continue to now be a voice of reason and activism.
That's like apologizing because you got caught. I know about that.
Okay, we can get into that. Even if it's, say, penal system, it's supposed to be reformative. You're supposed to learn from the mistake you make, and you're not scarred or labeled by it for the rest of your life, right? I mean, that's a huge part of it, too, I think, that
the proof will really be...
The action's got to follow.
Yeah, it's not even next year or the year after. If he retires in 3 years, where is he in 5 years? What's he supporting? Because he's got 7 or 8 kids.
God damn.
High school.
Holy shit.
Is he going to support all the way through and, kind of follow through with all that? Because he's going to be in the community, a big part of it. He's probably going to be coaching football at some point. He's going to be in a front office. I mean, he's got to follow through and support beyond, 10 to 15 years.
They offered him a contract next season already.
Yeah.
To coach?
Yeah, to do what? To replace Troy Aikman?
Somebody.
No. Sidebar, Tony Romo be killing that shit. Cuz be breaking down plays. That ain't even seen. He be calling that shit out ahead of time.
Yep.
Every single time.
And then the NBA parallels LeBron James being able to recollect plays and break down the other teammates or the other team's offensive scheme.
That's a superior mind type shit.
That's why they're in the NBA.
Student of the game. No bullshit.
Best of the best.
I mean, you could also, this is Reggie speaking of Mo, the way I break down his moves, I already know what he's going to do before he does them.
He do the same shit, that's why.
He
do the same shit, that bullshit ass spin, turn around, try to run into you. Get the fuck out of here, you fouling ass.
I got something for y'all when we opened that trust.
But that's further digressing.
We start talking about Michael, you want to move into that?
We'll do MJ's donation, $100 million pledge. Over 10 years
between him and Jordan Brand. And it's a big support of them, to go out to that community and say, hey, here's $100 million. I mean, everyone buys their shoes. Now, it doesn't matter who you are or what you are. You're buying their shoes. It doesn't matter. You walk on a basketball court, and probably nowadays it's 30-40% are Jordan, but, the rest are Nike, which is still part of Jordan Brand. Substantial amount.
Oh no, he took a lot of heat from that documentary. I think a lot of people feel like he could have done more when he was playing.
Yeah.
So I feel like this is pretty much the get back, the back pay for that shit.
He would definitely feel like he ain't do anything for us for sure.
He didn't vocally, but
he did
his money quietly, but he wasn't vocal and as instrumental as he could have been. Being as popular as he was.
I will say one thing about him. It seems like he stood up for what he wanted. He believed in it, and he said, this is what I'm going to do, and you're not going to change my mind. And, he stood strong, even though he was, how he portrayed himself in the 30 for 30, because he had a lot of say in that. But it's who he was. He said, I'm not going to play unless Phil is in here. Take it or leave it. And decided Phil was going to leave, even if they wanted. He said, see ya. I'm not going to be a part of this.
You want to be a part of that rebuild.
But getting back to, so I found this quote about MJ's donation, which I didn't know about, could have forgotten. MJ, Oprah, and Magic Johnson all donated to Spike Lee so he could finish the Malcolm X movie. So he's always been pro-black, quiet as kept. But speaking to portraying this clean-cut image that's likable across, like a bland image that everybody can relate to. He didn't want to ruffle any feathers,
Because Republicans buy shoes too, right?
That's what the man said. He caught a little bit of heat for it. And especially in 2016, when he donated after the Trayvon Martin, he donated to the NAACP, and at the same time, he also donated to the police funds. So he still, even 4 years ago, didn't want to upset the apple cart and wanted to still be liked by both sides. But this is a major statement.
He's got enough money to last the rest of his life and his kids' lives, so it's not even about the money. It seems like it's genuinely what he believes in, what he's going to support, and what he's looking to do for the community.
Hey, man.
Can somebody pull up the actual quote? Because that is, it was heartfelt as far as him finally having a strong stance, saying that we have been going through this for way too long, and it is finally time for us to start implementing systematic changes with policing in our community.
Don't worry, we got fact check Kevin on the case.
That's one thing I can't get out of it. He was dope. Basically, everybody knows he'd be cheap. You know, he never really spent no money and stuff.
So I ain't mad at him. I'm the same way, bro.
But you don't have MJ's bank account, though.
Oh, hell nah. I'm in the gutter on that. My shit is empty, bro. I'm gonna need another one of them MAGA checks. I'll keep it a buck. Guess that's all over with, though, huh?
Is that gonna have you Warner Brothers frog tap dancing out there?
Oh, nah, I ain't cooning out here. I'm still on the right side, cut. Nah, that joint.
He's on both sides. He understands. He's trying to kind of get through it. So I was raised by parents who taught me to love and respect people regardless of their race or background. So I'm saddened and frustrated by the diverse rhetoric and racial tensions that seem to be getting worse as of late. I know this country's better than that, and I can no longer stay silent. And then he donated $1 million to both the International Associations of Chief of Police Institute and the NAACP Legal Defense Fund.
Kevin with the college education out here.
Cost me a lot of money. Not sure if I regret it yet.
But I mean, I'm a strong believer it's never too late to make a change. So it's good to see that he's donating and he's out there in the public eye now, vocal about it.
Yeah, it's always, life's about learning, gaining new understandings of things. That's why people go to school for their life. They want to keep learning. People get new friends, they move to new places, they learn new cultures, they want to understand, new people they work with and what works for other people, because what works for one person doesn't work for the next. You're working in groups your whole life, in the office, on the basketball court, on the football field. You got to start reading other people's minds without realizing it.
I have to be the only white guy. That's how I feel on our basketball team.
I appreciate it. It means a lot.
That's a sidebar.
But yeah, for MJ to say the statement is a resounding statement, because going back to our society, we're a celebrity-obsessed society, so his words are extremely impactful, and kids listen to him blindly and will either regurgitate what he says or will do whatever he says blindly because they buy his shoes, we buy his shoes, I buy his shoes. I'm wearing the crispy Air Jordan 5s right now.
You don't think he competing with LeBron?
Who?
MJ.
I think it's not about competition. It's about LeBron.
That's good.
LeBron being a compliment to Jordan and moving forward, and they grow together, because one day LeBron's not going to be playing basketball and have to keep working together.
You meant more so as the voice of people,
yeah.
As opposed to on the basketball court. I can see, because of his competitive nature, I can see MJ being like, oh wait, oh they're talking about LeBron. Oh, let me. Oh, 100 mil. That should do it.
Tell him beat that.
with the cigar in hand.
Right. Nonetheless, that's LeBron going back to Nike asking for another 100, you know, 100 mil to go in. So now it's Nike looking at each other. Oh, what do we do? I did miss that though. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. That's what, July 31st?
Yeah, another month and a half. And we got the finals starting September, August 31st, and into September, something like that.
Yeah. Quarantine down in Mickey Mouse land.
And then aren't they starting the following season in December?
Yeah.
Bro, that's no break. That is no break at all.
There was a conversation about the other 8 teams playing for the number one seed. Ping pong to make sure they haven't stopped playing basketball from March all the way to December, which
is some of them folks let go.
Yeah. And no drug testing.
And some of the folks got on the Kevin diet, which is Mr. James Harden came out here looking like half himself.
Nikola Jokic too. He's ready for beach season, he said. It's a big boy.
That shit is nuts. But we can get into Candace Owens and her little Facebook Live.
She just don't.
Yeah, hold on. You can cut the coonery off, Mo speaking.
I mean, like, majority of black people, they've been through being followed by the police or...
Facts.
You know, just anything, like, dealing with, you know, it's, whether it's big or small, whether police beating up, you could be framed for something. Hmm. Like, I got a friend that got just lost his job recently for being, because they stopped him at the light, talking about some, oh, you got cocaine in the car, ain't never did drugs in his life, had a jump planted in a, they planted in a dashboard.
Okay. Who would put cocaine in a dashboard, first of all?
Yeah, first of all.
Friend shot by DCPD, so that this every time that we see these outcries, the outrage, it hits home, it hurts. For Candace Owen to bring up somebody's past and not treat them as a human or acknowledge them as a human being
after their death.
Yeah.
I mean, because the thing is, she looked up his history, but I guarantee she didn't even try to look for any good that he did.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And he did do some good. Like, yeah. So that's just crazy, man. I couldn't believe it. Like, I just saw it this morning. I was a complete shock.
For her to say that the black community is the only ones that uplift bad individuals is nuts to me. Because if you think about it, there are slave owners on our money. There are slave owners that have monuments, statues, and streets named after them. And not even just slave owners. It's people that tried to keep people in slavery. Schools as well. And we still celebrate the complete farce, which is Columbus Day. Like, everyone knows Columbus Day does not represent what it's meant to.
Yeah, he was lost. I mean, that's the bottom line. He wasn't sailing towards the United States or what is America.
And took over.
Yeah. The point that I bring up, and I haven't seen this point made, it's probably been made, again, ton of smarter people than me. So I can point to religion when it comes to Candace Owen. And so a lot of people uphold Jesus Christ as this their savior. What happens with Candace Owens types, when they try to take away from the message, they point to like MLK, who had mistresses we all now know as of recent collective consciousness. Jesus Christ had himself a little side piece, but that still didn't take away from folks believing in his word, believing in the message. And that's what we need to focus in on, as opposed to what George Floyd might have done in the past.
Yeah, I mean, Candace Owens, I think, is just bitter because the black community calls her a coon and calls her an Uncle Tom, quite frank. It's just utterly ridiculous for you to blow off someone else's experiences with the police and say police brutality is a complete myth.
It's a myth, yeah.
That was crazy to me, because there are plenty of people that can tell you their experiences, and for you to ignore them is disrespectful and just a complete waste of your platform. People, it gives people that are doing the racism and bigotry, like, see one of their own think like that, so we're not wrong.
It's always, what have you done for me lately? And your past shouldn't cause all these issues. And it's, you know, if you've proved yourself to be a better person and learned from whatever you've done in your past, regardless of what it was, then, you know, we're all about forgiving and forgetting and, you know, making sure that you continue to grow and you kind of understand where people came from and who knows where, you know, he grew up and what he learned from his family and his parents. And, you know, but he learn to grow and be better and bring himself in a new community. I was, you know, looking at it, but he's like a truck driver and a bouncer, and he was trying to, you know, make a living. I mean, just like everyone, he was working two jobs. He was, you know, taking care of his daughter and his girlfriend. I'm pretty sure it was his girlfriend. He was trying to live his life, you know, and he was trying to do good now versus, you know, where he was in his past. Which
she also missed one point too, because she brought up what he did and then the time amount of time he did, but at the same time, you got a white person that did that same crime, they wouldn't have did that amount of time. So that was another thing she had overlooked.
Oh yeah. Now, from the protest, I saw a display or a graphic that showed three people. It was a white guy, a Spanish, and a black guy, all charged with curfew violation. So they had their bail set. The white guy was $100, Spanish guy was $200, and then the black guy was $500. So that alone shows you the disparity,
right,
on how the judge dishes out corporal punishment. Or,
right.
And that's what these protests are all about, in terms of,
right,
bringing this attention or bringing light to these matters and hopefully getting a resounding change.
Right.
And that's, yeah. Not to jump around, but we'll go back to sports real quick. You know, the NFL is trying to implement a new rule to hire African Americans in the front office to, you know, put draft picks in. You know, that's,
yeah.
why isn't this just happening? Why?
Because, you know, right, what, you got only one minority owner?
Yeah, that's like everything should be consistent. It shouldn't be all over the place. You know, you should hire those people versus you should not want the reward for hiring those people. It's not the same as setting their bail at different, but it's, yeah, it's not a level playing field, you know.
Like, why do you need an incentive to hire,
right,
somebody?
Right, and the Rooney Rule was just, it was a great concept, but it just didn't seem to work out, you know, the way,
yep,
they intended.
And somebody might have to fact check me or go back in and add in the correct numbers, but it's, I think the NFL is 70% black. There are eight or 10 like coaches, that, two GM, and then one minority owner.
Yep. So yeah, that's... I think it was Kyle Shanahan came out, and he said that. He was like, this is ridiculous, that this is what it's come to. I mean, at the end of the day, these white coaches will never understand where these players came from. Yeah. I mean, if you look at the map, many people aren't coming, you know, they're not coming from the Northeast playing football in the NFL. They're coming from Georgia, Florida, Texas, Mississippi, Georgia. They're coming to play, and these coaches are coming from, you know, the North.
They keep recycling the same coaches.
Yeah.
They lose their job and they get hired. Why is the George Floyd murder different from the murder of other unarmed black guys? Like, why is the whole world protesting this one as opposed to the other ones in the past?
I think because one, it was three, like, back-to-back-to-back. Because you had Aubrey, Breonna Taylor, Floyd, like, right one right behind the other. And then the way that he got, I mean, everybody, the rest was more shot, whereas his was suffocated, and, like, nobody wanted to see nobody suffocate like that. And I think between that plus this quarantine happening, like, and that's why I say I hope that all this still continues even after quarantine is over. But I think that played a part in it too, because people didn't really have much to do too.
We're coming up on a new generation of kids that want to be vocal, want to be heard. They're advocating for change. So you've seen like climate change protests, you've seen different, I guess, movements bubbling, and just like Mo was just mentioning, the quarantine helped out a lot where folks were sitting idle, they were sitting with their thoughts, they started seeing the human side of it. So this all propelled this movement based off of, so the mass shootings also is another one where this younger generation wants to be heard and want to create change. You see these 16-year-old to 20-year-olds that are going up against veteran 70-plus-year-old politicians. So I think it's just a combination of everything that's been bubbling for, I'd say, the past 4 years, be frank.
Or even longer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think a bunch of the rioting and all that came from a place of hurt. People feeling like they weren't being heard when they were being peaceful. And sometimes the only thing people respect is ignorant and chaos. So when people start rioting and affecting the money, once the money gets affected, people start to pay attention. So when all of that started happening, I think it forced the governments and all the majority and officials to finally pay attention and hear people out. I think that's why they finally actually made that arrest. I don't think it was because they were ready to charge him or anything.
That was a pretty generic statement that could have been applied to anybody. You care to specify which one?
Derek Chauvin, I think that's his name.
I thought you were going to, so I think the first one, Ahmaud Arbery, is the tipping point.
That's the same thing, yeah.
Well, not the same thing, no, because
they arrested him because that video finally came out
2 months prior to.
Correct.
So the protest brought, again, forth light to this incident. And then that's when the actual arrest happened. So protests are productive. They do have results, whether it's riots or not. But I don't think it's the voice of the people, literally, that brought about the arrests of Ahmaud Arbery's killers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think one thing, I'll say this, but the Haitian sensation has brought out with the kids these days. And they're growing up, and, you know, with the pandemic and everyone being home and the unemployment rate be growing, you know, these kids are on their phone all the time, and they've grown up in mixed communities, and they're teaching their parents, you know, new ways to think, and they're continuing to grow. And, you know, they're sitting on the couch and they're reading through all these posts from their friends, and they're like, I want to support them. And you know, they can't go to the basketball court and, you know, play basketball with them, or they can't go throw the football. It's just giving them they see an opportunity to go out there and kind of show what they're supporting, and they want to support their friends. And I think the parents are kind of coming around to, you know what, this is what my kid believes in, and I want to support my kid. And I think that's how it's grown. It's grown from the bottom up versus the parents really teaching it and driving it from the top down.
Yeah, man. Shout out Generation Z. At all.
No.
But,
piggybacking off of that, Kev, and social media being the driving force. So we, in essence, myself, the elder statesman here, tend to, you know, sometimes shit on social media, but it's been a huge driving force in intertwining the younger folks and bringing forth a message to the masses. It has almost created a singular force phenomenon amongst the Far East coast of America, the West Coast.
There's like 18 countries overseas.
It's insanity, yeah.
Facts.
But I'm with you on that, you know, I'm not that big on social media either, but these last couple weeks has been the most.
Lately, you've been on that motherfucker.
My group of friends, you know, I was kind of impressed with the people who were posting, and I don't talk a lot about politics and kind of things going on in the world, because it drives a wedge in between friendships, and, you know, I try to avoid that, talk about things I want to talk about, they want to talk about, and politics usually isn't my first topic. And, you know, when I see people posting on Facebook, Instagram about the community, it made me feel good about the people I was friends with. And if they were posting stuff I didn't like, to be honest, I just unfollowed them. I probably didn't like you before to begin with, and I probably had no reason to follow you to begin with. But, you know, it kind of gave me a reason to actually look back at it and go, you know what? Yeah, just push forward.
Definitely brought true colors out of everybody, for sure. Yeah. But about coming to that, there's a lot of people that do unfollow me on another. I'd rather keep them and continue to keep trying to inform them. And if they want to unfollow me, that's on them.
Well, I guess I didn't realize how many people I unfollowed until. You know,
like, saw that follower friends list.
I'm not going to go to them and tell you your opinion sucks. I'm just going to ignore it and move on. I'm not going to waste my time. I got so many things going on in my life that there's other things I can worry about and spend my stress on.
Yep. And the most random ally that came out of the social media network are the K-pop fans. Did you see that?
The Korean joint?
Korean.
Yeah.
So the Koreans support themselves as much as, obviously, like, so we're on the Black Lives Matter topic. Their fans are so fanatic about their music. They have tens of millions of people who are always posting. Uh-huh. So they literally whitewashed the white supremacy hashtag. So they posted so much that if you put in like White Lives Matter or All Lives Matter, All you would see results are K-pop music fans.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They inundated
them. I thought that was dope, though. That was cool as shit.
That's the support. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the support people need. It doesn't have to come from white people. Didn't come from anyone. I mean, because, you know, there's people all around the world who are in certain situations, and they can understand it from a different viewpoint, and they want to show their support because they know what it's like to be down.
I mean, I've definitely seen some black people that say, be like, stop following the trend, you know, this ain't this, and I don't support this. It's like, those are the worst ones, for sure.
I must say, though, eventually we're going to have to start supporting the other groups as well, because we're not the only ones that go through it. Like Hispanic people, ICE, you got the Native Americans have been in an uproar for years about the Washington Redskins name and how it's derogatory to them. And the owner basically gets to say, fuck you, I'm keeping it. Yeah, like, so eventually we're going to have to start supporting others as well.
Right.
Which, historically,
that's fair.
No, I'm going to go back to my Haitian sensation moniker. 1804, first black independent country was Haiti. So we've been leading these movements as far as modern day, in a sense, the civil rights movement.
Talk your shit.
Then women's rights followed. So we have always set the standard. So yeah, we need to make these inroads, and we're not going to leave folks behind. But those, we still need to break that barrier before any change can be then passed along to other folks, whether it be races, gender, and so on.
But I do want to shout out Corey, Lena, and Beaumont for leading the charge with all the protests in Arlington. I think that was pretty dope. I don't know the young lady's name that read the poem at the protest. You can speak to that more than me. You know, I don't want to discredit anybody.
It's gonna come back to me.
I thought you was down with the get down, cuz. But guess not. You knew them before me. But I mean, I think it was dope because I think the one from last, I think it was Thursday, if I'm not mistaken, was over by the courthouse in Arlington, Virginia. Yeah. Nick was there, and he hit me up like, "Hey, are you here?" Like, he was there before me, trying to make sure I was gonna show up. So. Yeah, John hit me up about the one. What was that? 2 days ago, was it?
Yeah.
I got it. That was mad respect, cause they shut down what, Columbia Pike, Walter Reed. Then they got on the highway and shut down the highway. So I mean, that was all dope. So shout out to them for organizing that. And I mean, but one thing happened though with Corey's. The police wanted to shut his down.
So, he had just walk, so he get the thing.
Most people would have ran and canceled. He didn't. He stood 10 toes to the ground. So I thought that was pretty dope of him. And I just seen Corey running around the whole DMV area. So I want to give him his props because he's been upfront about it and very active. Him, KJ, all of them. So I thought that was pretty tight of them. And I mean, I just hope, after the whole hashtag Black Lives Matter and all the protests, and the work doesn't stop here. People keep spreading the word about what's going on. And just, it's not a clout chasing thing for the time being. People are just out here to be seen because they have nothing else to do. Yeah, that's all I got on that one.
So like I get, you know, yeah, definitely everybody needs love, especially I look at high school, like with the whole 9/11 thing, being named Muhammad, so I got it twice as worse, being black and being Muslim. So yeah, definitely everybody needs it though, but definitely need to start now with the Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, absolutely. No, and then I guess from my standpoint, what I've tried to incorporate with the office is using Black-owned businesses, as far as showing support, and also what you were mentioning about Corey donating money, that's the old man in me, that feels like you can lend a helping hand, whether it's just a dollar, ten, whatever it is, to the cause, to somebody's bill.
That's money bagged over here, cuz, I try to tell you.
but that's where I'll transition to in life as far as my donation.
A question I was asked by a white guy actually was, what can he do to help?
And I feel like we all got that question.
Yeah, like how can he be a contributor? What can he do? I'm gonna throw that to my one good white brother that's here on the couch with us.
I'm still here.